Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Home after a long day. Now the question becomes, what are you going to pick up for dinner? Ben Quiddle tells you what you should pick up and also gives you the latest news that's cooking with BYU Sports in What's Cooking with the Cougars here on ESPN 960.
What's Cooking with the Cougars brought to you by Fat Daddy's Pizzeria with two locations. In Provo and Orem, Provo at 223 West Center and Orem at 93 South State Street, now offering gelato at both locations. And milkshakes are back on the menu, boys, in the Provo store. Mention ESPN 960 for 8 free garlic knots at Fat Daddy's Pizzeria, fatdaddyspizzeria.com. Okay, so for What's Cooking with the Cougars, here's what we got going for you today. We are, according to Cougar Stats, 94 days away from BYU season opener against Sam Houston. Max Hall finished his career with 94 TD passes, second most in BYU history. Ty Detmer leads, of course, with 121. BYU's schedule includes a group of teams BYU hasn't faced in an average of 28.8 years. Lavelle Edwards was in the fourth grade when BYU last played Texas Tech, something like 83 years ago or something crazy. So I like, Brandon, that we're going to have different teams coming into Provo for games than we've seen in the past. And we've had some good variety during Independence, don't get me wrong, we know that. But the fact that these are league games against teams that BYU hasn't played for a while, I think makes it even more fun and even better than Independence in that regard.
Yeah, I hope some rivalries are formed. It's hard to see a natural rivalry for BYU, and that's kind of frustrating to me because that's what built college football, and I think that's kind of going away. I don't like that one bit. And you just hope that BYU is able to engender some hate. That's what I miss about the Mountain West Conference. I really like the aspect that teams sincerely despise BYU. That BYU is able to be very polarizing. I hope some of that comes about with Big 12 play. I don't know how it is going to come about, but I think TCU's kind of a natural rivalry. If BYU can hang with TCU, that's going to be a tough prospect. I think there were some seeds planted in Mountain West play where that was becoming. BYU and TCU were the two top dogs for a lot of the years. And then TCU figured something out, and BYU wasn't really able to hang at TCU in the late years. But, yeah, I hope something like that's realized. I think Texas Tech has some potential. Texas Tech likes to throw the football around. I think that could cause for some intriguing games. And beyond that, maybe Baylor. A lot of coaching ties there, some familiarity. But I'm excited to explore those prospects. I think it's going to be really interesting. And I'm just really, really excited that BYU's in conference play. I think one of the most notable quotes that I've heard from any coach was one of the first spring practices. We talked to A-Rod about the conference affiliation, and he basically said the thing that everyone knew but wasn't allowed to say. Yeah, it really sucks from a motivational aspect. The players, when, wow, it doesn't really matter if we lose one game or we lose five games, we're going to the same place. That weighs on you, whether it's conscious or subconsciously, probably subconsciously in a lot of aspects. But that's done. It's gone away. And I think that's going to be such a big thing for this team. It's going to be big for recruiting. It's going to be big for player development. And most of all, it's going to be good for the product BYU ultimately puts on the field. And that's going to be the best thing about conference affiliation by far, in my mind.
There's different flavors of rivalry, I think. For instance, the Utah rivalry was a different flavor than the Wyoming rivalry or the Colorado State or UNLV. But a lot of these teams and fans hated BYU because the simple fact that BYU beat them.
Yeah.
And beat them soundly, and beat them soundly on their home fields.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember going to BYU at Wyoming, and BYU went and just thrashed them. And going out of the field after the game to go talk to the, you know, follow the team around to talk to the coaches and players, I was a little scared something was going to break out because those Wyoming fans were not happy. They were inebriated. And they were looking for a fight. And I saw somebody come up to, might have been Kelly Papinga. I don't know. Maybe it was Brady Papinga. Just kind of eyeball him. And I'm thinking, dude, you don't know what you're trying to get yourself into there. But as we get into play in the Big 12, until BYU beats any of these teams regularly, I don't know how much of that kind of rivalry there will be. I think there's a good, healthy rivalry right now between BYU and Baylor. They've played two games. Baylor pretty much handled the first one that was played in Texas. BYU and Baylor last year was a classic in Provo. I wrote a story last year preceding the game about the religious connection. They're both religious schools where students take religion classes. And I think there's a mutual respect there. But these other programs, we don't know how their fans are going to react. I mean, it's great. Let's invite BYU in when they come play us. Hey, thanks for being here. We just handed you a 30-point loss. Is way different than, I can't believe you came in to beat us, you know, blankety blanks. So, as you mentioned, it's going to be fun to see how those play out and how long it takes for BYU to develop some rivals within the conference that has some tension to it, that has some, I don't know, animosity is not the right word maybe, but I hope it doesn't turn ugly like it did against some schools in the Mountain West Conference, Wyoming particularly, and against Utah. In a lot of cases, that turned ugly in some ways. But that's just one of the things we can track as we move forward into the Big 12. Per Nate Slack, now you mentioned you don't like those 8-15 games, Brandon.
No, I do not.
Per Nate Slack, since 2019, BYU is 24-2 in games that kick off after 6 p.m.
I have a theory on that.
And 12 and 13 in games that kick off before 6 p.m. Tell me what your theory is.
My theory is this. What's your average BYU player relative to what the average player is at other schools? The BYU player is focused. They're not looking around for some tomfoolery before the kickoff, by and large. They're focused. They're locked in and all that. I always see teams that have to wait until 8 o'clock. That's going to be a tough thing, especially if you're not used to that.
If you're traveling, a time difference, all that stuff, yeah.
It screws you up. You think of idle time's not good. It's not a good thing. Ben Crowell talks about it ad nauseum. And I think maybe even for opposing coaches, that's the thing. So I just see players sitting around and doing some things maybe they shouldn't. Maybe eating some things they shouldn't prior to the game. Why are they BYU's more locked in to the task at hand for that 8:30 kickoff than other teams? And I think that's been made relevant with BYU's performance. I think that's absolutely a thing.
We shall see as we come up on this next schedule. BYU football recruiting news, 2024 three-star quarterback E.J. Kamenong has BYU on his official visits list. He listed him today. He's going to Oregon State on June 2nd, Texas A&M on June 8th, Washington on June 17th, BYU on June 19th, and Cal on June 22nd. We were talking quarterbacks earlier on the program yesterday, and E.J. Kamenong is one of those quarterbacks for 2024 BYU is watching. The Big 12, also, this was a press release that was sent out today, 2023-24 college football postseason schedule and anticipated Big 12 bowl tie-ins. So here they are. There's obviously a New York 6 game, whatever that happens to be. The Valero Alamo Bowl. Bad news, Gurney, the Cheez-It Bowl has now become the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
I like Pop-Tarts.
I like Pop-Tarts better than Cheez-Its.
Wow. I like Cheez-Its.
I like Cheez-Its, too. That's my wife would tell you that I constantly buy Cheez-Its as something just to snack on. Tax Act Texas Bowl, AutoZone Liberty Bowl, Guarantee Rate Bowl, Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl. Then you've got the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces and Servo First Responder Bowls that are contingent on other things happening. So those are some bowl tie-ins, and BYU, if they hit 6-6, it's possible they could get to a bowl game. 7-5 would obviously get them there. Here's what a BYU or Big 12 assistant coach had to say about BYU that's been making the rounds. They have most questions of any new team in the league by far. In the short term, they've got to replace a lot of the best playmakers, and they were really streaky last year, and they don't look like they're league ready at all. This is an assistant coach in the Big 12 saying this. The obvious concern is how they recruit because they didn't have enough depth to hold up an independent schedule. Now they're going to be playing more physical teams every week, so you could just really see the bottom falling out, at least at first. Keaton Slovis will be an interesting experiment. Decent defensive coordinator Jay Hill was a really good hire for them. They're going to be a lot more like Utah, more aggressive and force you to make quick decisions. Long term, they can recruit to that scheme if they start making big plays. Ultimately, they aren't going to challenge culturally, and the quality of player they can get probably won't change because they're a P5 now.
Whoa.
I think I disagree with a lot of what he said there. And my point has been, and I've discussed this a couple of times on the program, when you're making so many changes to personnel, and by my count, BYU is replacing on its roster upwards of 50 or more roster spots. Different players weren't in the program last year. When you count graduate transfers, the class of 2023, return missionaries, and preferred walk-ons, we're talking more than 50 players that I can see, right? The chances that every one of those 50 players works out exactly the way that you want are pretty minimal. So there's going to be some holes. Like, let's say Keaton Slovis works out. Let's say that, unfortunately, some of the offensive linemen have problems or they get beat or they get hurt. And so I can see where this coach would look at that setup and say, yeah, a lot of things got to go right for BYU to be good this year. What are your thoughts on some of these comments, Brandon?
I agree with the framework. I think the concerns he has are valid. Well, concerned, he's obviously not concerned about it, but the red flags are valid. But I think they're too pronounced. I think he's too definitive on what's going to happen. I think he needs more allowance there. Doesn't sound like he's being too diplomatic in that regard. And I have to believe this is an assistant coach for TCU. That's what I'm guessing. Or it has to be one of the better schools. I mean, if an assistant coach from Kansas is talking like that, come on, get over yourself. Who do you think you are? Or even at Iowa State, stop it. Come on. No. So I have to believe maybe it's an Oklahoma assistant, Texas assistant, very likely in that regard. I believe his criticisms are fair. A lot of them are valid, but I think they're too pronounced. I think he's taken too harsh of language with it, if that makes sense.
And there's natural bias involved.
Yeah.
Because this assistant coach, and by proxy, all of the coaches and fans in the Big 12 are not used to BYU's style. They see them on TV once in a while, but to think that they can come in right away and compete with the Big 12, oh my goodness. Maybe they're thinking, We're at a certain level, and BYU's not at that level yet. And they're probably right in some ways. But I feel like, and Dave McCann said this yesterday, BYU's marching orders at the end of the 2022 season was, we need more depth.
Yeah.
And they've done that, recruiting through the portal and bringing in some really good 2023 class of 2023 recruits and some pretty good, I think, preferred walk-ons. And as I mentioned, A lot of things have to go right for a team that's replacing that many players to have a great season. To have a good one, I think there's still a lot of leeway there where BYU can have a nice season and win 6 or 7 games and put themselves in a nice role for the following year. The first year in the Big 12 does not have to be a disaster. And certainly, as we talk about some of the Big 12 programs, I admit I don't know a lot about some of the schools because I've been focused on covering BYU and their assortment of independent schedule teams.
Yeah.
Right? We haven't paid a lot of attention to the Big 12 other than just cosmetically, oh, yeah, they got somebody into the championship game and got beat. We know who's good. We know Texas is always overrated, all those things. But the deep dive into what they do in the Big 12 is still coming. And I think that is the same on the other side of things for the Big 12 coaches and fans is they're still, okay, they got to figure out, what does Cincinnati do well? What does BYU do? What does Houston do well, right? What are these new teams coming in? What do they do well? What can they stay with us? And they, until you play them, it's going to be difficult to say for sure. And there's always connections between coaches. Like I'm sure there's coaches at Oklahoma State who are familiar with the coaches at BYU. They know them through conferences and workshops and summer camps and those kind of things. But I still think there's a really
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Strong and large get-to-know-you period between BYU and the Big 12 that plays to BYU's favor in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and that coach is operating under the framework largely of what happened last year. And to that point, it's understandable. Where BYU did not have the depth, it was exposed tremendously. But us seeing the program, seeing the development, and just believing in Coach Hill and these incoming players, I think BYU is going to figure that out quite a bit. And I don't think BYU's ever incurred that sort of problem since Kalani's been coach. It was really bad at the end of the year. It really was. That defense was a mess. It was an absolute mess. A lot of unfortunate injuries. So I think given that framework, he's working and thinking it's going to be a lot like that this first year. I don't believe it is going to be like that. I think BYU is going to be more focused defensively. They already have better depth on that defensive line, which was the forebearer of all the problems BYU had. Fans will argue scheme until the day they die. It was defensive line and BYU's inability to stop the run. Because if you can't stop the run, it doesn't matter what you're doing schematically. Nothing's going to work. It's just not going to work. BYU's going to be better in that regard, but I do believe that depth will potentially be the biggest problem because you look at that defensive alignment, and I'm looking specifically at cornerbacks, and it was kind of interesting. We talked to Brady Papinga and Brian Logan at length about that because I'm nervous about the cornerback position. I'm nervous that BYU's going to be going back to the days where you have two guys that we know can play, and we know that Jacob Robinson and Eddie Hecker can play, and then you get the transfer from Weber State. Yeah, he looks fine. Yeah, the stigma, well, it was Weber State. We'll see, right? What do you have behind that? That, to me, that's cause for a lot of concern. But according to Brian Logan and Brady Papinga, who know a lot more about defense than I do, they're not concerned about that. Brady's biggest concern is having a legitimate Brady Papinga type in that front seven. A guy that can make plays. We're all looking at Tyler Batty to be that guy. Max Tooley, obviously. Ben Bywater.
Isaiah Banya, maybe.
Yeah, Isaiah Banya looked really good in spring practice. I'm glad you brought that up, Darnell. That's Brady Papinga's biggest worry. And I'm obviously going to yield to these guys, especially when you have Brady Papinga, given his vast football knowledge already, but coupled with the fact that he kind of knows what's going on. He kind of might be echoing. Well, you don't want to put that on a guy because that's a little sketchy there. But you know he has conversations with Kelly. He's seen a lot of the things Kelly Papinga is. So I have to align that with my own thoughts, and I have to give myself some pause there where the biggest problem is going to be legitimate playmakers in that front seven. And maybe I shouldn't be as worried about cornerbacks as I would be otherwise. But when you come at the premise that you're going to have an aggressive scheme, to me that dictates you're going to be leaving guys on islands. You're going to have some man coverage. I mean, that's the natural inclination, at least in my mind, as someone who's covered football but never played the thing. So I still think cornerback's a worry. Linebacker's absolutely a worry. They still don't have the depth necessary at that position. And it's kind of weird that when you look at the alignment, the very position that lacked the depth last year is probably going to be the deepest position, and that's going to be the defensive line. But that's where you want the depth. If you were to give me where do you want to be deepest on offense and on defense, it's absolutely the line play. That's where you have to be deep. And I think BYU, it's not perfect. I still think BYU lacks that true stud up front. Maybe Jackson Cravens can be that guy. I don't know. I think a healthy Atanaiza Mahe has a lot of potential, but that's kind of been the thing with the defensive line. These guys just haven't stayed healthy. But I think with the depth, and if you start with that, it's going to sort out a lot of the existing problems that could exist at linebacker and at cornerback with that defensive line. So you hope that bears out, and I just can't see BYU being as hapless defensively this year as they were last. It was really bad last year, and I don't see that repeating itself.
And speaking of linebacker depth, Harrison Taggart, Corner Canyon, linebacker who went to Oregon, is in the portal.
They could use
him. He is contemplating. The other day he posted, still thinking kind of thing. So hopefully that would be great for BYU's depth if Harrison Taggart ends up in Provo. Finally, just want to mention as far as our What's Cooking with the Cougars, the last competition for BYU sports this spring is the NCAA National Championships in track in Austin, Texas, starting June 7th. And BYU is going to have several competitors on both sides, the men's and women's side, up to 8 or 10. As we get closer to that, it's always fun to follow and see how they finish that out. I did want to talk a little bit about the opening weekend in the Big 12, because we've talked about BYU's schedule for those first, three of the first four games, because Kansas we don't know yet, and the fifth game. Once we hit Cincinnati and that game's over, then BYU gets a bye. And after those five games, we'll kind of know where BYU sits in terms of how they're holding up with depth and injuries and things like that. They get a week off. But that first weekend, let's talk about that for a minute. August 31st, there is Kent State at Central Florida, 5 p.m. game on FS1, and then Missouri State at Kansas at 6 p.m. on ESPN+. So just a couple of games before that first Saturday. The first Saturday, let's show you how things kind of shake out for those games. Colorado at TCU gets the 10 a.m. slot on Fox, which is not surprising considering that's Deion Sanders. Is he going to have enough players since about 60 or 70 guys left the program this year?
Wow.
Taking on TCU, that's going to be a must-see TV, I think, for most college football fans.
That's going to be a very interesting team to watch.
The other 10 o'clock game is Arkansas State at Oklahoma. That's on ESPN. So those get some prime slots. The first that you see football, you watch College Game Day, and then you watch those games at 10 o'clock. The noon game is Northern Iowa at Iowa State, but that is on ESPN+. So they're relegated to streaming in that situation. The afternoon game on the Fox network is Rice at Texas. It's 1:30. The other 1:30 game is Eastern Kentucky at Cincinnati. That's ESPN+, so streamed. At 5 o'clock, there are a bunch of games, 5 and 5:30. They've really crammed a lot of games into here. Texas San Antonio at Houston on FS1. Texas State at Baylor, ESPN+. Southeast Missouri at Kansas State, ESPN+. Central Arkansas at Oklahoma, ESPN+. So a lot of games starting in that late afternoon, early evening situation. One of the bigger games from the Big 12 that day, if you want to look at that, West Virginia at Penn State is a 5:30 start on NBC. West Virginia had a down year. Penn State was one of the contenders, top 10 kind of team. The other 5:30 game, this one's on CBS, is Texas Tech at Wyoming.
Wow, how'd Wyoming swing that?
I don't know. Okay. And that leaves us with the 8:15 start, Sam Houston at BYU on FS1. Now, if the first game, the game that BYU is waiting for to finish will be UTSA at Houston. That's the other FS1 game at 5. So that's the one we'll be watching the end of to make sure it gets done on time so that we don't have to wait around too long for the start.
And it won't. It'll probably go to overtime.
Yeah, probably. But that's the lineup for the first week of games for the Big 12. And BYU's in a slot by itself. They're not competing with any other games, really, at least in the Big 12. There'll probably be other games on, you know, Pac-12 after dark or whatever. But Sam Houston at BYU gets the 8:15 slot on FS1. So what do you think about the opening slate of games?
Well, what I was thinking when you were running down that whole thing is the fan mentality. And I think a lot of fans, they want to root for the in-conference team. And I think by and large they did. But I don't think many BYU fans root for Utah ever back in the Mountain West days. I don't think any BYU fan really wanted San Diego State to win, right?
Yeah, right.
Wyoming is like, come on, nah. There's a lot of fans that they stayed in lines like you always want the conference to do well, right? But do you really? But I think that changes with Big 12. I think BYU fans are going to be locked in and they're going to be really cheering these Big 12 teams. That's what I think. Is there a team in the Big 12 that BYU fans will not be cheering for?
Well, at least be watching. I don't know if, how much they might be cheering.
Oh, they're going to be cheering.
You think they're going to be cheering?
Yes,
I think
absolutely.
They're going to want to see what they have to go up against.
Yeah, well, yeah, obviously, more so than that. But I think it's going to be a big thing. I think BYU's rah-rah, they're into it. They're into the Big 12. They want the Big 12 to become that third conference, yeah. Which I think it should do easily. I mean, considering what the Pac-12 has, but you want that emphasized. And I think BYU fans are really going to get behind these teams. They're really going to want. They're going to be watching Kansas games, and it's going to be, man, I really want Kansas to win this game.
Well, and the big thing for BYU fans, and for the conference, we had Barry Trammell on yesterday from the Oklahoma, and he said he likes what Kansas State is bringing back. He thinks Texas could be pretty good. But he also mentioned, and this is something we've talked about on the show, the Big 12 has kind of been taking turns with teams being good and rising to the level of the conference championship and, you know, getting to the playoffs. And last year it was TCU. And the year before that, Baylor was really good. So who's it going to be this year? And I think that will draw BYU fans to those games to see which one of the teams is starting to make headway in a very competitive conference.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's just going to be really, really fun.
Yes.
You're going to have interest that you've never had before. BYU's back in. It's going to be feel normal. It's going to feel right. There's not going to be the pretense that was always involved in independence. And no matter what fans say, there was always a heavy dose of pretense with the independence. There just was. And that's going to be done away with, and it's going to be tremendous. I'm really, really excited for what's ahead of BYU.
ESPN 960 Sports. When we return from this break, we will bring on BYU senior setter Whitney Bauer from the BYU women's volleyball team. We'll ask her about the spring foreign tour to Egypt, Turkey, and Greece that they just completed, the outlook for this year, schedule, all those things coming up next on ESPN 960 Sports.
Athletes of Brigham Young University in a player profile segment here on your Cougar Insider Radio Network, ESPN 960.
ESPN 960 Sports, welcome back to the program. Darnell Dixon and Brandon Gurney sitting in for Ben Kirtle, who is vacationing in an exotic and resort location. He'll come back all nice and tanned and with plenty of takes on BYU sports. You know, he's thinking about them right now as he's sitting in a Chase lounge by the pool or by the beach. But he's working for you. His mind is always working for you, the fan. I will be hosting the show tomorrow with Sean Walker and then back on Friday with Mr. Brandon C. Gurney, who's here with me today. Coming up in a few moments, we're hoping to bring on Whitney Bauer from the BYU women's volleyball team. An active summer. For a lot of the Olympic teams, Brandon, women's basketball, women's volleyball, women's soccer, men's basketball, all going on foreign trips.
Boy, they look like they're having the time of their life out there.
Yeah, there's some cool things going on. Hopefully we get a chance to talk to Whitney about that. As we go into the Big 12, there are things that will mark certain passages of time and things you're going to mark on your calendar. The women's soccer team will play the first game as a member of the Big 12. We don't know what that is yet because the whole schedule hasn't been released. And just like women's volleyball, we have seen what their conference schedule looks like. And that starts for women's volleyball on September 20th. They play at home against Houston. That's a Wednesday. And then on Saturday, they have Baylor at home. And then they take a trip and they play at Texas twice the following week. Texas, the defending national champion. Of course, Texas, a team that BYU defeated in 2018 in the Smithfield House to get to the Final Four, swept the Longhorns right out of the gym. Pretty amazing night, I remember. You were there, Gurney.
Oh, yeah.
You were there. And the volleyball team is slated to be pretty good. Now, we talk a lot about the football and men's basketball teams and how they will fare in the Big 12. The Big 12 is a pretty good volleyball conference, too. And Baylor's been good. Texas, as we mentioned, was the national champion. Kansas State, Cincinnati, UCF, Kansas, West Virginia, TCU are all pretty good teams. I feel like the West Coast Conference was a little underrated as a volleyball conference. That's because the top teams.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
San Diego and BYU were really good. Beyond that, though, there weren't a lot of great teams. There were, I mean, BYU, I think I don't remember what the number is, but they've only lost, you know, a half a dozen, maybe a dozen matches over the last 12 years in conference. Most of those to San Diego, and everybody else they beat consistently every single time. Portland and Santa Clara and LMU and Pacific, all those teams were just getting hammered by the Cougars. I think the Big 12 is a little bit better volleyball conference, but I still think that BYU is in a position where they can be really competitive in that conference and near the top. And this team coming back, I think, has that potential. I think that the summer and the spring, of course, the trip they just took to Europe helps bring them together. They were able to bring in three or four freshmen that enrolled early, and then a couple of other players, Claire Little and Brielle Kemavor, were able to join the team that are in that recruiting class that had not quite graduated high school, but they were able to work out the trip, and they're, you know, coming to BYU now.
Yeah, they're going to fit in just fine. It's not going to be a thing. And when I think about the Smith Fieldhouse atmosphere, which is already tremendous, it's going to be enhanced with those competitive teams, those name opponents. It's hard to believe that the Smith Fieldhouse atmosphere could even be enhanced and better. I think it's going to be. When you have those name opponents, fans are going to get even more excited. The games are going to be more competitive. And I think it's going to be absolutely tremendous for the volleyball program to play those teams. You think about rivalries and all that. It's going to be really fun. The BYU women's volleyball is going to be really fun. And soccer is going to be the same thing with the South Field and all that. I don't know. I'm not as familiar with how the Big 12 soccer teams are, but I have to imagine they're pretty good.
BYU's played some Big 12 soccer teams out of conference and been really competitive, so yeah.
Yeah, so when you talk about sports that are just going to transition, it's not going to be a big thing, but it's going to be a lot of fun. You immediately think about the soccer team and the women's volleyball team. I'm excited for that. Having a Texas into the Smith Fieldhouse, an Oklahoma, any team from the Big 12, it's going to be cause for a lot of fun matches.
And everything starts really with Whitney Bauer. We're still endeavoring to get her on the program today, trying to connect with her. But she's going to be a senior. She started as a freshman when she was 17 years old. So she's a four-year starter. She has been with the program, knows what's going on. Her sister Eden's on the team. They've got Erin Livingston coming back for her senior season as one of the outstanding outside hitters in the country. And we're going to talk with Whitney right now about the BYU women's volleyball program and her senior season. Whitney, thanks for coming on today. We appreciate it.
Hi, thank you for letting me on. This is awesome.
So tell me about this spring tour that you guys just finished in Egypt, Turkey, and Greece. That had to be one of the mind-blowing experiences of your college career.
Yeah, it was amazing. Well, I mean, first, like, we just want to give, you know, we're so grateful towards the donors and everyone that made it possible to let us go. It was truly amazing, but we actually had a layover in Paris. We were at the airport for a couple hours, and so we were just like, might as well tour Paris. And then from there, we went to, I know, just, you know. And then
might
from there,
well.
We went to, right, but then we went to Egypt, and it was amazing. And the teams that we played in all these countries were incredible. We played the Egyptian senior national team, and they were so skilled and so talented. They were like 30 years old. But they were so good, and they kind of pushed us. So that was fun, and the volleyball in Turkey was amazing. I think mostly because they were just so passionate. I think volleyball is just you know, it's like a whole different ball game over there. And so it was super cool to be exposed to that kind of aspect in Turkey. And the food was great in other places too. The food was really good.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Greece was beautiful too. So, I mean, every country was different. So I think that was the coolest part. We did in fact ride camels in Egypt and see the pyramids. So that was spectacular. So yeah.
Yes. Speaking of the pyramids, we did see the photos. The coaches, knowing that some of your freshmen that had joined the club in January were going to miss their graduations, brought along their graduation gear and let them get dressed up on it. And they've got some pretty memorable pictures. Selena DeMooney, Mia Lee, and Will Miller all have some pretty memorable pictures of themselves in their graduation outfits in front of the pyramids. That's just crazy.
Right. Yeah, it was amazing. I think the coolest part about that was a thought that was put into it by the coaches. I think that was so cool that they even thought about that. And obviously for the freshmen, for just, you know, giving up their graduation, I think that's a pretty big moment for everyone. But they were just able to come on the trip with us, and they fit in so well. And I think that's something that none of us will be able to forget, that camel ride. But especially for the freshmen, it was so cool.
What was the favorite part for you? What maybe favorite city you went to, or favorite place you visited?
Oh man, I don't know if I have a favorite. I really, really enjoyed Egypt. I think Egypt was super cool. But I'd say the volleyball in Turkey was probably my favorite. Probably the last game in Turkey was unreal. I think the environment, with, you know, they're playing their national songs, and, you know, everything's foreign, you can't understand anything, but it was just the most incredible environment. So, and the volleyball was so good. They were all so skilled, and they were young. They were so young, but they were so good at volleyball. So I think that was probably my favorite.
So amongst all of this, it's an opportunity for the team to kind of gel a little bit together and chance to play. How did that work for you and your teammates to have the opportunity to play together against somebody other than yourself when you get, you know, spring ball?
Right. Yeah. Well, going into our foreign trip, we kind of talked as a team and as a staff about our goals and our main objectives, you know, and it was just building relationships, you know, learning lifelong lessons. And so I think that was cool that we were able to carry on those goals and see how that kind of played out throughout our trip. You know, it's cool because you're meshing with the freshmen, and you're meshing with the seniors, and everyone's just doing everything together. So I'd say our team chemistry and our culture has definitely improved throughout our trip, and I think that was probably the coolest part, to see everyone just get along and the chemistry just flow. And the games got better and better. We played better and better as, you know, as we were there, and so I think that was also super cool to see, and just seeing everyone work together. So, yeah.
Whitney, we're talking to Whitney Bauer, BYU Women's Volleyball. This is your senior year coming up. You've really been a leader since you started on campus, because you were a starter as a freshman. How much of the responsibility do you feel as a leader now as a senior going into your senior year?
You know, it's funny because, I mean, well, if we're talking about pressure and leadership, I think the leadership role is so different. I look back to my freshman year, and I was playing with, you know, the legends, Mary Lake and McKenna Miller, and they're so amazing. But the leadership that you kind of feel as you go throughout your years, it's just different every single time. And so this year, I think all the younger girls and the seniors and even the freshmen, they're doing a really good job of, you know, leading in their own ways. And so I feel like that puts a little bit less pressure on my plate. But, you know, I just want everyone to have a good year and be happy and lead in their own ways. And I think that'll just make our team better in the end. So yeah.
Whitney, I'm reading through your bio, and it's making me feel really old, because I didn't realize that Danny Bauer was your father. And I remember Danny Bauer really well. And your mom obviously played for BYU as well.
She did, yeah.
How big of a thing is it for you to be able to follow that and play at BYU? Can you maybe just take us through your development and when you began to realize your potential, where you could play volleyball and do very well at BYU?
Yeah, well, my mom, as you mentioned before, my mom played, you know, years ago, but she's been my coach ever since I started playing volleyball ever since I could walk, pretty much. But I think I was around 8 years old, and I started playing. And I have six sisters, so I don't know if you guys know that too, but I've got a bunch of sisters, and so we all kind of just play together. We play together every single day. My mom is my coach, and, you know, I think I was exposed to BYU very young, at a very young age. I went to all their camps, but from ever since I was little, I knew that BYU was the place I wanted to be, and I wanted to be part of that environment, and I wanted the church to be part of my life in that aspect ever since I was young and ever since I could remember. And so I wanted to be a BYU Cougar, and everyone in my family, my uncle Jacob, he also played football at BYU, as well as my grandpa, so it just kind of runs through the family, and I wanted to be a part of that. So,
Whitney, I want you to give me an inside scoop here a little bit about a couple of the newcomers mm-hmm. that had a chance to join the team on go on this foreign tour. Claire Little mm-hmm. and Brielle Kemavor. I know Claire a little bit because I did a story on her when she committed when she was 14. And so I'm excited to get a chance mm-hmm. to see her play. And I've been reading up on Brielle and her exploits as a high school superstar. How did they kind of mesh with the rest of the team and enjoy their first exposure with the team on this foreign tour?
Yeah. Oh, man, they're awesome. It's funny because, you know, after looking back on the trip, I just think to myself, they didn't seem like freshmen. They weren't really, you know, just sticking to themselves. They didn't really have like a bubble. They were super outgoing. And I think that made it easier for all of us to get to know them better and to mesh with them. But in terms of the volleyball court, yeah, they did a good job just being, you know, options. And, you know, me as a setter, I love to have tons of options when I'm setting my hitters. And so they did a good job being aggressive. And, yeah, they're both really good players. So I'm excited to see where this season, you know, goes with them.
We've seen the Big 12 schedule. They've released that. We don't know about your preseason mm-hmm. schedule yet. But normally, generally, BYU hosts a couple of tournaments over the weekends in late August and makes a couple of road mm-hmm. trips. What are you looking forward to this season, aside from, I guess, playing in the Big 12 is going to be a big change?
Right. I mean, I don't know if I'm able to stay on here, actually. But we're actually playing Pitt in our preseason. I don't know if it's, like, fully signed and everything and ready to go, but as of now, we're playing Pitt, and if you guys know our history with Pitt, we played Pitt a lot last year yeah. in the last couple of years, and I think we're just excited to play like a Final Four team. They're amazing and super talented, and so for me, it's not so much like revenge. I mean, I guess it is a little bit, but just playing a really, really skilled team, and I think that'll just help expose our team in the good ways. You know, we just want to get better and play the best team, so.
What are some of your personal goals this year, Whitney, that you want to accomplish? And maybe a team goal that's something that you guys have talked about.
Mm-hmm. Well, going to the Big 12, I mean, that's all you hear is everyone's just asking, like, how are you guys going to do in the Big 12 and stuff? But I think personally, I just want to play the best I can. And I'm not really trying to put any, like, titles on anything, but I think it'd be so cool to be an All-American. But the team comes first, and I just want our team to believe in themselves and do the best we can in the Big 12, because I truly believe, and I know the team does too, that, you know, we can win the Big 12 and we can compete and we can do well.
And one more season with one of your sisters, Eden, is on the team this year, and mm-hmm. I believe you have a younger sister who's already committed to BYU for 2024. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Sounds like there's going to be a lot of Bowers coming.
There will be.
Program.
Just keep them coming. Keep them coming. Well, we're always glad. Always glad to have you on the program, Whitney. And you're a lot of fun to watch
Thank
out
you.
There.
We
wish you the best of luck, and we'll have you on again. And we're looking forward to watching the team take the court in August as a member of the Big 12.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Whitney. Whitney Bower from the BYU women's volleyball team. And it's been a great summer for them. I mean, they are bringing in quite a few new young players. And I mentioned a couple of them. Claire Little, as a freshman, was the National Freshman of the Year playing in California. And she's had an interesting career because they didn't play her sophomore year because of the COVID in 2020. And then they didn't play the following fall either. She went like a year and a half without playing high school volleyball. She played some club during that time. But she's really good. Brielle Kemavor is a middle blocker, 6'5". Who is going to really help them out this year. They're a very talented team, and I'm looking forward to seeing what Heather Olmstead has in store with this team, because she's done an amazing job. She's taken over for her brother, who took the team to the national championship game. They've been really good every year, and I think that this year is going to be special for BYU.
Heather Olmstead is, I don't know if she's the best all-around coach at BYU for all sports, but she's got to be in that conversation. I think what she does with the BYU women's volleyball team has just been outstanding. You're seeing the players come in. They want to be part of that atmosphere, that environment, but most of all that player development, because she puts out a really, really good product on the court, and I believe that she will win a national championship at BYU sooner or later, and it seems like she's developing a lot of young talent that's coming through. It's coming together, and BYU's going to be a force. They're probably going to – I don't want to say win the Big 12, but they're probably going to be right up there. They're going to be contending every year. They go to the Sweet 16 and all that. It's a high-quality program, and it's just a lot of fun to cover. Man, what'd she say, seven sisters?
Yeah.
And they all play volleyball.
They all play. Well, she had one sister who already graduated who played libero.
Yeah.
And Whitney is a senior, and then Eden's a sophomore, and then she has another sister who's already committed who's a setter, who's playing her high school senior year in 2023-24.
Wow. Good things.
And younger sisters even from then.
Good things coming for volleyball. And when we talk about Olympic sports, you kind of get the impression that fans, oh, I didn't really know. Fans know the volleyball, and they get behind it, and it's tremendous. It's just a really, really it's one of the best parts about BYU athletics. And, yeah, I just enjoy hearing from Whitney Bauer, and I love covering the BYU women's volleyball team.
ESPN 960 will return after this break. Darnell Dixon and Brandon C. Gurney taking over for Ben Criddle today. He's on vacation. He'll be back next week. But you got us for the next 3 days. I hope you're ready. ESPN 960 Sports will come back after this.
Griddle, and it's time for a Cougar Insider Report. Now let's get that proprietary inside scoop on Cougar Sports from Griddle.
Cougar Insider Report is right now on ESPN 960 Sports. Darnell Dixon and Brandon C. Gurney, we are here live bringing you as best we can what's happening in BYU sports. And it's summertime, so, you know, we're doing our best to try to come up with good nuggets that you can digest while Ben is gone and while you're waiting for the season to start. Want to mention Cougar Insider Report brought to you by OrthoPros of Utah. Service all of Utah County and surrounding areas. OrthoPros of Utah opened its doors in 2008 to work with clinics in the area with the goal of providing durable medical equipment to help with recovery and injury prevention. Whether you're an athlete looking to get back in the game or someone who's trying to manage the pain, let OrthoPros of Utah help. 801-400-5318. You can also go to orthoprosofutah.com. Ben is in love with Brooke, obviously, but he's also in love with college expansion and conference expansion talk, isn't he, Gurney?
Oh, yeah.
He loves that kind of stuff.
Yes, he does.
Me, I sometimes grow a little tired of it because nothing seems to happen, but it's fun to speculate. Here's another speculation. This is on 24/7 Sports, reported by Brad Crawford, that one of the teams the Big 12 is kind of eyeing is Memphis. Now, we've been hearing over the last couple of weeks it's Colorado. Colorado's the team that Big 12 is kind of after. Big 12's talking to them. Colorado's thinking about it, kind of waiting to see what happens with the grant of rights and the media deal for the Pac-12 before they make that decision. So here's from the story. Big 12 expansion is expected to continue in college football's growing realignment era, and Memphis is reportedly a conference target per Daily Memphian. A newspaper and others.
Memphian?
The Daily Memphian. Yeah.
Wow.
Long reported to be on Big 12's radar prior to the league's recent four-program initial 2022 expansion. Memphis would give the conference a footprint in the South. It could be a second edition in the near future alongside Colorado, which has continued talks in recent days. With the exit of Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC, Big 12 responded last summer with UCF, Houston, Cincinnati, and BYU pushing its 2024 number of teams to 12. The potential of two more schools in expansion would create a possible two-division scenario, increasing that number to 14. Memphis recently announced major renovations to its Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium, which would put the venue on par with other Power 5 stadiums. Go Tigers 24/7, Brooks Hansen explained that Memphis wanted to leave the Group of Five ranks for years. This is what Hansen had to say. This isn't the University of Memphis' first or even second story with the Big 12. After that sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it, Brandon? Big 12 flirting with a team and leaving them hanging.
They like to flirt.
Yeah. After being left without a rose in the previous year's expansion runs, Memphis has proactively pursued improvements to its resume and profile over the past 2 years. Academically, Memphis made massive strides in its accreditation and status with academia. With progress made under previous president David M. Rudd, Memphis now provides an academic profile that would be competitive amongst the ranks of the Big 12. Beyond the classroom, the university has made significant investments in its facilities, including the past and future renovations of Liberty Bowl Memorial Stadium, construction of the Lori Walton Family Basketball Center, and upcoming upgrades to the FedEx Forum. Improved academics facilities and an already highly rated television market give the Tigers a strong case for inclusion. Interesting. In a recent analysis of Power 5 TV markets, per Nielsen ratings, Memphis stands at 51st nationally with 620,000 households annually tied to college football viewing. For comparison, Indianapolis, which comes in at number 25, averages around 1.1 million. So as we look more in this expansion era, do you think it's a good or bad thing that the Big 12 wants to continue to bring teams into the conference? We've talked about Colorado. We've talked about Memphis. We've also mentioned some Pac-12 teams other than Colorado, Arizona, Arizona State. What do you think this means to BYU in the long run?
It means that BYU is part of a very progressive and forward-thinking conference, which is so bizarre because the Big 12 was always the stick in the mud, the unimaginative conference, the ones getting walked over for so many years. And now they're talking to Gonzaga. They're talking to Colorado. They're talking to Memphis. They're talking to everyone. And I think it's exciting. You want to be a part of that. You want to be part of a vision. I don't know if Memphis that doesn't really do a lot for me, specifically Memphis, but I do like that they're exploring that option. Because you're going to have that to survive. You can't be the guys that are being poached. Look at where the Pac-12 is right now with their standards and all that. You want to explore every option you can because it's going to be very proactive amongst the ACC, Pac-12, and the Big 12. Those are the three that are going to be really vying for that third spot. That's going to be the thing. So you want that leg up in every possibility. You want to make moves. You want to be ahead of the curve. And it's really exciting that BYU's part of that, that they're part of a forward-thinking conference. So yeah, when you see Memphis, it's like, really, Memphis? But then you think, yeah, why not? Why not explore that possibility? It's not done or anything, but at least it's thinking outside the box. It's showing that yeah, we want to move forward. Because the college football landscape is rapidly changing and all that. So you want to be ahead of the curve. And for years, the Big 12 wasn't that conference. It was the antithesis of that conference. So now that it's going ahead, you want to be part of that. You want to be part of a conference going places, a conference that's thinking forward. So yeah, I think it's a very good thing for BYU, and I think most fans would agree with that.
And I also think, and here's what was coming into my mind as we were having this discussion, was, as BYU goes into the Big 12 and starts to recruit some of those areas where they're going to be playing in, places where they haven't been very much. Like, I think BYU has a pretty good recruiting presence in Texas, but it never hurts to be there more often.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's a hotbed. There's tons and tons of great athletes in high school football in Texas. I think that, you know, they're going to be going to Florida. They can get a stronger foothold in Florida playing UCF. The Midwest with Cincinnati. And then if you add Colorado, Colorado's a neighboring state that BYU doesn't recruit very well, I don't think. They've been okay.
I don't think they need to. Colorado.
But it's good to have at least a presence.
Yeah, right? I agree.
Colorado's decent. And then Memphis would give them a southern, perhaps, you know, finding a place like Nebraska has really mined the Atlanta-Georgia area in the last 10 years. Now, obviously, Nebraska's had their issues. But they've opened up kind of that area, and they've recruited a lot of kids from the South, and maybe BYU needs a little break in the South. Maybe Memphis is that place. So as you join the Big 12, there's a lot of different things that affect your program, and I think one of those things is recruiting. And when you play in those areas regularly, you can have a little stronger presence there. You get to know some of the coaches, the high school coaches, better. You're there. You might as well go out and watch a game on Friday night if you got a game Saturday, right? We used to do that. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
In Texas, we went and watched Teo Fabaluja.
Yeah, Fabaluja and Ross Apple.
Ross Apple and those guys. Yeah. That was great. But so Memphis is the latest team to be exploring. And I said to on the program yesterday when we were talking to Barry Trammell, I said, you know, I think that what we need to realize is these programs and these colleges are doing their due diligence just in case something happens. Like if the Pac-12 deal is lowballed and nobody's happy with it, they want to have options. If the Pac-12 starts to disintegrate and people start leaving, they already know what the Big 12 is going to offer. That's already out there. They can already figure that out. What they don't know right now, and the rat in the equation, you could say, is what's happening with the Pac-12. What are they going to do? How are they going to change things? How are they going to get this media rights deal done? And is it going to be satisfactory to the two most important members remaining in that conference, being Oregon and Washington? Because if they leave, it seems like that's going to break apart the rest of the conference.
Yeah, if anybody leaves, it's going to be really, really tough for them to atone for that, for lack of a better word. But it's just one more thing to be excited about. BYU's in a forward-thinking conference. It's in a conference. It's the third best conference. I'll make that argument any day of the week. What's existing in the Pac-12 in line with the Big 12? No, the Big 12 is going to be more competitive. And now the geography works for the Big 12. Yeah, you can branch out and all that. You don't have the academic umbrella that the Pac-12 has for whatever reason and all that. So yeah, it's an exciting thing. And it just speaks really well to BYU's fan base. That's one thing I always come back to. To go through what BYU did with independence and to make it fly and to arrive at this point, I hope fans give themselves a pat on the back because they're the ones that made this happen.
And it could have been disastrous.
It really could have been.
It could have been the demise
Absolutely.
Of the program as an opportunity even to be a P5 wasn't even present.
Yeah, and BYU had a lot of difficulties, a lot of coaching issues along the way, a lot of bumps, a lot of things that didn't work out in that regard. But it just speaks to how firm BYU is as far as its loyalty and all that. So I hope fans understand that, and they should get rewarded, and they will be rewarded because every aspect of this, it's hard for me to think of any negative that's going to come with conference affiliation transposed with what BYU had in independence. It's going to be better in every aspect, and I think it's going to be great when the day comes, and it's coming, when Utah's going to be begging BYU for a game. Because it's not going to work out. I'm telling you, Darnell, it's
BYU
not
fan,
going to work
you know, Utah
out.
Utah fans are pretty confident things are going to be fine.
I don't see how.
Yeah.
I don't see how.
It's looking less and less each passing day with the media rights deal not being signed and being nowhere near conclusion.
If the Pac-12 can make it through the end of this football season without any break in that current 10-team structure, I will be amazed. I will be absolutely amazed. I just don't think it's possible.
ESPN 960 Sports, coming up in this next hour, we're going to talk to Toby Christensen, former BYU wide receiver. His late father, Todd Christensen, deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. It hasn't happened. Toby is trying to come up with ways that he can make that happen, and we'll talk to him about that in the next hour. Stick with us on ESPN 960 Sports. We'll come back after this.